Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. There's so much this week about the love of God for us. So much in the scriptures that speak about his love for us, the miracles he works for us. Even if we haven't personally known them, he knows our needs. And he has done great things for those who love him in return and follow him, no matter whether it's dark or light, they follow him. And that's what we want to be. I know I do. We want to be more and more clearly a disciple of his, that he knows us. And he does. He knows you by name. He knows every strength and every weakness you have. He knows that for me too. And he loves us. He is our Heavenly Father, and truly he is. He is our Savior, saved us, who died for us. And his Spirit has been given us to lead us closer to him. Brothers and sisters, let us open our hearts to the gifts of God, and you can say, oh, I know all that. Well, do you live by it? It's one thing to, quote, know something. It's another thing to live it. We need to be in a place where we're living the love that God has for us, and in turn are loving him. That's what God wants of us. Let's take a look at the first reading today from the first letter of John, chapter 4, verse 19, to chapter 5, verse 4. Beloved, we love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. That's just clearly there. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For whoever does not love a brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. This is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. You know, I've taken, brothers and sisters, in trying to grow in my own faith. I've tried every morning, might be after I'm up at least 5 minutes, but I take the time to just say, Lord, I want to be a sign of your presence. Live in me. Help me to love people today. Help me to thank people. Help me. And believe me, brothers and sisters, it develops a whole different attitude in me rather than saying, oh, I've got to do this today. I've got to do that today. But I'm going to be a servant of his love. And that's not just because of my community. I think that's a call for all Christians to be a disciple of his love and his presence, his care. My goodness, brothers and sisters, each of us can be a sign of his presence. We aren't it, but we can be a sign of his presence by the genuine love we have for one another. Does that include some difficult times? Sure, it might. But if you grow in that relationship, it will be strengthened. God loves you. God wants to use you for his glory, for your salvation and mine. Brothers and sisters, stop and ponder that you are a child of God. No matter what your age, we are children of God. Have I lived as a genuine child of God, a son or a daughter? Have I lived that way? Am I living that way? What do I need to change? What do I need to do? Some of you, as I've said many times before, may be in very difficult circumstances. Take your questions to the Lord. Yes, you can get good counsel and good help from others, absolutely. But also bring that question to the Lord himself. Teach me. Show me. how I can love this person, how I can forgive this person, how can I be kind in this situation, how can I help? Let those questions be in your mind. Get them off yourself and reach out to the needs of others. Brothers and sisters, I don't think it's too far-fetched to say that if you really did that and persevered in it, a year from now your life would be different. Honestly, internally, perhaps externally, but your life would be different if we love as He has loved. And now we want to take a look at the Gospel today, Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 22. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. I'm sure that's true. He taught in their synagogues, and he was praised by all. And then he came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and he went, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and he was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to bring liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendants, and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. And he said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. He has come, the Savior of the world." Those are my words. He has come. And it says in scripture, "And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth." Would people be amazed at the gracious words that come from your mouth? The tongue has to be disciplined. Tongue has to consent to what the mind knows to be true. He loves us. He wants us to be disciples of him. He baptized us. He set us free. And we're called to follow him now. You say, "Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. But how is that evident in your life? What have you done in the last year for somebody else who was needy? What have you done? Think about it. I don't want you to get so caught up in work that you don't have time to pray. I don't mean that. But some expression of love or care. Someone needs a coat. Could you afford to get them, or could you go to a secondhand store and get one for them? What could you do? Perhaps a family has had another child. What are you going to do? Can you help them? A family who is in need, you know they're poor. Are you willing to reach out? God wants that of you. God wants that of me. God wants that of each and every one of us. So I want to say to you, please take a look at your own life. Please, brothers and sisters, I urge you to do that. There is a beautiful reading today by Blessed Concepcion Cabrera of Armida, I think. She died around 1937. She was a wife, a mother, a widow, and a spiritual writer in Mexico. And she is the first Mexican lay woman to be beatified. Listen to what she says. "Heavenly words of mercy, of justice, of sublime charity, and of holy love fell from the divine lips of Jesus as gentle dew falling upon a parched earth. His words were, and continue to be, the great splendor, the great light for all mankind. His words always spoke piety, sweetness, and confidence. He was and is goodness and mercy and kindness personified. If we were to allow his words to penetrate our hearts, how rapidly we would begin our transformation into him. And the truth is that by our good fortune, Jesus lives in our souls and suffers in us. Who has ever said that the presence of God in his actions and in his words has to be felt? Sometimes God grants that sensation, at other times he doesn't. But having or not having that disposition does not necessarily mean that we are far from God. When one comes to understand this, one receives desolation, the inability to hear Jesus' voice interiorly as a precious grace from God, and one accepts it in peace. There will be periods of dryness, lack of consolation, fatigue, and struggles. But in the midst of this, just as when we feel fervor, the same love must continue burning, a love that adapts itself to all circumstances and is never extinguished. This love comes from God, and that which is divine is also immortal. The words of Jesus enthrall us and fill us with love. In them we find all that is pure, luminous, and beautiful, and they take the soul beyond one's possible dreams of holiness. They take you beyond, brothers and sisters, think that. They take you beyond. You could be a saint. I don't say that lightly. Every one of us. Because she writes, these words of Jesus are food, light, perfume, life, delight, strength, and love. We all go through dark times. We all go through dark times. But with all your heart, keep loving God and asking him to show you the way through the darkness. And as you are shown the way through, reach out to others and show them the way. We need one another, brothers and sisters, far more than we actually know. We need one another. I don't know about you, but even, you know, some days are long and full and tiresome, and somebody just going by says hello or how are you or something like that, and they don't have time to stop, but they're interested enough to greet me. And that makes a difference. If I'm under the weather or I'm concerned about someone or something, it just lifts the burden. I'm not alone. And neither are you. There's no way in which we are alone. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest with you. Baptized Christian, baptized Catholic, however it has been expressed, if you've been baptized, God is right with you. If you haven't been baptized, I really urge you to talk to a priest. If you're Protestant, talk to a pastor. We want to inherit eternal life. We want to be with him forever, and that's not just some made-up tale so that we can have one more religious exercise. God wants to save you for all eternity. Your life is infinitely important to him. I don't care what you do. Your life is infinitely important to God. And I want you to believe that and to live like that and to help others to live like that. Sometimes it helps just to tell yourself who you are. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.